The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org. Vancouver's downtown core, including the downtown east side, is home to a large population of low-income seniors. These seniors often live alone and die alone. As our city prepares for new growth in the downtown core, low-income seniors have become a forgotten population. Established in 1958, the Second Mile Society exists to address the social, recreational, nutritional, and informational needs of low-income seniors in downtown Vancouver. Recently, I spoke to Steve Chan, who is the executive director of the Vancouver Second Mile Society. Hello, Steve Chan, and welcome to Co-op Radio.
Thank you, James. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's very much our pleasure, and then thank you for joining us. So we want to learn a bit about more about the Vancouver Second Mile Society. So can you just start with a brief little introduction? What is the Second Mile Society, and what is it that you do?
Yeah, well, the Vancouver Second Mile Society is actually the oldest seniors organization, nonprofit organizations in Vancouver. It was set up in February 25th, 1958. I think in the 50s, about 15 to 20% of the East End residents were 50 years of age and older. And they are mostly males. They're living in the single-room occupancy hotels, in the old run-down rooming houses or the third-rate hotels, where they were in the rooms that they had no heat. Usually during the day, they had nowhere to go but the street, the department stores, benches at the railway station, or the reading room of the Carnegie Library at the corner of Hastings and Ming Street. And also at that time, and there was no planning for a community center for seniors. In the downtown east side community development plans, they did not include a community center for seniors. And there's also an event that triggered the establishment of our society was in October 1st, 1957. The Carnegie Library closed because of they were considered the building had safety hazards. Major renovation was needed at that time. So because of the closure, Dr. Wallace Wilson, he was a physician, with a group of his friends, started the Vancouver, they call it Second Mile Club at that time. Our first setup was at 346 East Hastings Street. That was part of the Hazelwood Hotel now. They start a day center there for the old people. That was the start of the society. They try to create a living room space for seniors to spend the day alone or with their friends in there, so that senior will have a better quality of life and stay away from isolation. That's pretty much the start of the society at that time.
Would you say that the need for an organization like the Second Mile Society, has that changed at all in the 60 odd years since the organization was founded, or are seniors still living in poverty? Are they still living in single room occupancy hotels? How would you say, or if things have changed at all in the history of the Second Mile Society?
I think our mandate is pretty much remains the same. But in fact, the work that we do is we've been doing more to. Not just the operating of the senior centers. We're having two senior centers now and three outreach programs. Our mandate are still, we try to help to improve the quality of life of seniors living in Vancouver's downtown east side and downtown south communities by building a social support system through the work of our drop-in centers and outreach projects, so that seniors can find a sense of belonging and enjoy healthy aging in their own community. I think that's what we are trying to do, and we are still doing it. But we are trying different means to reach out to them, and that's what we are doing. we're trying to invent new ways to reach out to them and try to help this group of seniors that are in need.
And what specifically are the services that you provide for the seniors in the community in the Downtown East Side?
We operate a Downtown East Side Senior Center, and we try to set it up as like a living room for them, because many of the seniors that in the hotels that they are in the SROs, they don't have a living room in there, and they're so tiny in their cubicle, like maybe 90 square feet of the space, and some of them they have to share bathrooms, and they don't have cooking facilities inside, and they have nowhere to go. And many of them, they are poor, so they have, as a result, they have, they're in poor nutrition, and they have, there is a lack of safe and healthy living conditions for them. So, and also social isolation is also the issue. So and also because of the gentrification in the neighborhood, they have fewer and fewer community space for them to go to. They cannot afford to go to a restaurant or go for a movie for a whole day long. You know, like they have to have a space for them to hang out. So we have the Downtown Eastside Senior Center. We try to create our atmosphere, our environment as a living room for them, so that they can come in. We try to provide a safe, welcoming, and quiet space for them to meet up with their friends or spend time there by themselves. And also they can join activities and socialize with one another and participate in the communities. So the space that we provide allowed them to create their own peer-to-peer connections and also networks, so that we hope that by doing this, we can help them to stay away from isolation. And we also provide low-cost nutrition meals. We have two purposes for the meal programs. Meal is also a means to an end. Well, it not only helps them to provide better quality of food for them during the day, and it's also a means to an end. We try to encourage them to have lunch over meals, you know, with their friends. And they can also participate in the programs. Like we have karaoke, singing lessons. Well, that's pre-COVID. And also like line dancing programs. And they can come in and play pool or play cards with their friends. Some of the Chinese seniors would like to play mahjong. And they can have access to some of our health or information workshops when we have guest speakers, and also they can access to information on health and wellness or housing and pension through our staff that providing one-on-one services, or we'll provide referrals for them to access to other resources as well. That's basically what we do. And also, apart from the senior center, in 1989, we started the first Neighborhood Helpers project. It's an outreach project. Instead of having seniors coming to our space, we go to their space. We go into the hotels. We try to set up coffee rooms in there so that we can connect the seniors, the residents there with the other people inside the hotel, so that they can set up connections, and they can have friendship circles within there. So for those that have mobility issues, we also reach out to them. And for those that they are able or they don't have the concern of mobility, we invite them to come to join the senior center so that they can have a social connection and also have a community life in the senior center here. So we are now having three outreach programs, one in the Downtown East Side for English-speaking seniors, and one Chinese outreach program starting in 2007. And we also have another location in the downtown south location, is in one of the city's buildings. That's the Continental Senior Center. We also operate similar to the Downtown Eastside Senior Center. We also have an outreach program there starting in 1995 to reach out to the seniors in the hotels and social housing over there. That's basically what we do right now.
And what are the addresses of the two drop-in centers?
The Downtown Eastside Senior Center is 509 East Hastings Street. The cross street is Jackson Avenue. The other location, the Continental Senior Center, is at 1067 Seymour Street. It's between Hamilton and Seymour. But because of COVID, right now, the Continental Senior Center is being closed because the city has not have it opened yet. They're still trying to mitigate the spread of COVID in there. So that's the two locations of the senior centers.
You mentioned the drop-in center. You provide meals, well, specifically lunch you just mentioned. Are there other meals? Can people come in for breakfast or dinner or snacks? Or is it just the one meal that's provided?
Well, before COVID, have breakfast program as well. We start from 8 to 3. But since our senior center reopened in July this year, we are opening from 9 to 2 for now, because we are just offering light breakfast in the morning, just toast and coffee, and then we have lunch in the afternoon. Because of the we have a significant drop in our attendance in the senior center, because seniors are still worrying about getting COVID, and also our pre-COVID attendance daily is about 80 to 90 seniors per day. But right now we have about 20 seniors or less than that drop in every day. But sometimes when we organize structured programs, like we had the Moon Festival celebration, or we have bingo games, that we have more seniors drop in, that can be up to 30 seniors per day. Our members are still reluctant to venture out in public for fear that they may catch the disease. That's what we are facing right now. So we hope that gradually we can have more seniors coming in. And also to ensure the safety of the seniors, we have, when we reopen our senior center, we only allow seniors that have double vaccinated and they have to wear masks to come in for the protection of the seniors. That's one of our requirements when we reopened.
I was wondering about the reluctance of the seniors to return to the centers, if it was just because they are, even though they are double vaccinated, they're still concerned, and understandably concerned about getting COVID, or is it some of the seniors haven't yet been vaccinated? Do you have any sense of if that's the case or not?
Yeah, we do have seniors that have not been vaccinated. So basically, we have to turn them away for now. And but for seniors that they have double vaccinated to come in, well, there's also a chance that they may get COVID. So we have to we only allow our seniors coming in up to a max of 30 people right now at one time at our senior center. We still keep try to keep social distancing, and just to make sure that we our seniors will be healthy, you know, like when they attend our programs.
Are there other services that you provide for the seniors other than meals and a place to come and socialize and activities? I'm thinking in particular, I saw on your websites a quote from someone who is grateful for help that they receive for the banking that they would do each month. I'm wondering if you provide other services like that for the seniors if they need help with anything.
Yeah, well, I think many of the services that we do pre-COVID, we still have a limitation in doing that right now. And basically, our senior center and all our in-person programs were discontinued on March 19th last year when COVID started. So our services during COVID was we focused on providing low-cost meals to isolated seniors with barriers to food access. And we also were able to only check in with them by phone or through their building managers to make sure that they're okay. And we also worked in cooperation with our outreach staff and volunteers to deliver hot meals and food hampers to the needy seniors. And also, we during COVID, we also launched digital literacy programs to show seniors how to use their cell phone or their digital devices to connect with the others. But that's only confined to those that have access to Wi-Fi. For those that live in some of the city buildings, that they have access to Wi-Fi, or some they have their cell phone that we try to show them how to do it. But for some of them, basically, if they don't have a cell phone and they don't have internet connections, unless we can connect with them or check in through their building manager, we're not able to connect with those seniors at all. And we've been trying to provide one-on-one service to some of the seniors. Like you said, sometimes if there's no other people to help them, we also try to pick up medication for them, and we just pass it on to the building managers in the buildings to pass it on to them, etc. So it depends on our resources and depends on the need of the seniors. So we try to do our best to cater for their needs. Or we also work with other organizations, our partners, see if we can leverage our resources to help the seniors in need as well. So and also earlier this year, we worked with our local agencies, some of the local agencies to discuss with VCH, Vancouver Coastal Health, and we were able to organize 6 walk-in clinics for some of the non-speaking seniors, mostly Chinese seniors or Vietnamese seniors. There were over 1,000 of them got vaccinated through this series of 6 walk-in clinics. We try to provide them language support so that they'd be able to get their vaccine without having the language barrier. That's some of the things that we do. So we try to cater for the needs of the seniors and try to find resources for them if some of the things that we are not able to do or to deal with it, that we see if we can get referrals for them.
And something else that occurred to me too, do you help in cases of an emergency? Like if someone is stuck in their room and they they need to seek medical attention or something like that, can they reach out to you and can you help them get to a hospital, for instance, something like that? Or do you still encourage them to reach out to emergency services directly or something like that?
Well, we are not trained as a health service staff, and we don't have the qualification, you know. So,
I wasn't thinking about that specifically, but I'm wondering if, you know, if someone, they've come to rely on your service for their day-to-day needs, you know, they can still reach out to you and you can facilitate getting medical attention to them if they need it.
Yeah, we will encourage them to call 911 or many of the seniors that they live in the building, that they have their building manager as well. We usually will, if they reach out to us, we will let the building manager know. And because we only have a few staff there, some of them are all part-timers, and we're doing our best we can. But in terms of emergency situation like this, it's better for them to call 911 directly, you know, so that there won't be any delay in getting their medical attention.
What sort of planning are you doing for the future? I know someday, nobody really knows when now, but the pandemic will finally run its course and things will, you know, start to really get back to normal. Are you planning already for that date, or are you really just waiting to hear what the provincial health officers have to say?
Well, I think what we are doing right now, for example, for the senior center, the reason why we just opened a few hours is just our phase one reopening. We are planning to have fully opening, like same as pre-COVID, that we provide the services. And we are having our plan to do that. But right now we are just, we're still trying to get the more seniors to come in to attend, to make sure that they come in, that we provide a safe environment for them to dwell in our space. And our outreach programs also have resumed some of their services. We resume 3 coffee rooms in 3 buildings in the Downtown East Side. But for the Downtown South outreach program, we have not been able to resume any of that yet because of the building managers are still don't consider that it's a good idea for us to get into their buildings. So we are still doing the delivery of food hampers just to help some of the seniors that will have a problem in getting food access to get some food for the time being, just to help them out. But at the same time, we try to connect with them and show them how to use Zoom or other digital means, if possible, to meet with us. Like last year, our coordinator was able to set up a Zoom Christmas party with some of the seniors, so that they were able to do it virtually instead of having the in-person Christmas party. That's what we are doing now.
If someone listening would like to get involved in any way, either donate or volunteer, are there opportunities for that sort of thing?
Yeah, we are just a small agency. We basically, apart from our staff, we also need help from other that be able to be our volunteers, just like to maintain our website, for example, helping us to do some fundraising initiative, for example, you know, that will be needed in our setting.
And where can people go to learn more about the Vancouver Second Mile Society?
Oh, they're welcome to connect with me, and my phone number is 604-254-2194. Or they can send me an email to our organization's email address, info@bsms.ca, info@bsms.ca, and I will get back to them when I receive their email.
And of course, the website address is vsms.ca, correct?
That's correct.
Well, it's been great to get a chance to speak with you, Steve. Thank you very much for joining us here on Co-op Radio.
Thank you for having me.
That was Steve Chan, Executive Director of the Vancouver Second Mile Society. You can learn more by going to vsms.ca. CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.